harping on wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, lead it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count with these guys. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought and died to be. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. You run down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on whiteresistanceradio.com or altrighttv.com. Well, lots more news and news for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. One of the things I really approve of and encourage is the pushback in many parts of the world, Germany, the United States, even here in Canada, to the lockdown, and in many cases, irrational conditions of the lockdown. Anyway, here's a report on just that, and it's sort of headlined, if we don't take our freedoms back, they may not come back. That's a huge worry. That they may not come back. Freedom is easy to lose and much harder to regain. And of course, the very nature of government, they grab for power, and they're not very that eager to give it back, give it up again. Anyway, here's a survey of people protesting the stay-at-home orders.
Governor's stay-at-home order.
Instead of looking at essential and non-essential, let's start looking at what's safe and unsafe and start getting people back to work.
Quarantine is for the sick, not for the healthy. It's time to open up.
We're going to take our liberties and we're going to keep them and we're going to fight for them.
The order is the strictest in the nation with pushes back on family visits. Can't you go to your own summer house? Can't use a jet ski? Can't use a motorboat, but can use a canoe? Let's bring in the host of Liberty File, Fox on Fox Nation, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge, these restrictions are ridiculous, and thousands of people came out to protest. Does it surprise you?
It surprises me that it took them this long to come out, Brian. Good morning. It's always good to be on with you, even if we're so far apart from each other. This is a blatant violation of the Bill of Rights, a blatant violation of freedom of assembly, of your right to purchase a product that you decide is essential. If you go to a big box store in Michigan and you decide, instead of buying cereal, I want to buy grass seed, instead of buying paper towels, I want to buy a garden hose, you have violated the governor's executive order. And theoretically, because she's threatened to do this, she'll shut down the big box store because they sold you grass seed and a garden hose instead of cereal and paper towels. These are not decisions for the government to make. These are decisions for individuals to make. And the sooner we take our freedoms back, the less likely the government will be able to continue doing this. And if we don't take our freedoms back, they might not come back.
It's really getting tough now because it wasn't the only place there were protests. But let me just see, let everybody hear what the governor said. Quote, we question some restrictions that Governor Whitmer has imposed as overstepping her authority. This is according to the protester. She has created a vague framework of emergency laws that only confuse Michigan citizens. As a result, will not have strict enforcement of these orders. So they're not going to comply. Guess where else they're protesting? They're protesting in Kentucky, Ohio, North Carolina, and Virginia. And as more and more states go online and get their rights back, that is going to fuel, I believe, other states to go, wait a second, this is getting ridiculous. You got 29 states without a big imprint from this virus. Don't you think that's where it's heading, Judge?
I do think that's where it's heading. You know, here in New Jersey, the governor boasted to Tucker Carlson last night, the Bill of Rights is above my pay grade. The Bill of Rights is above your pay grade. You took a solemn oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, which includes the Bill of Rights. When these governors try to write law rather than enforce law that the legislature has written, they violate the federal constitution, they violate the state constitution, and in the case of Governor Murphy in New Jersey, who says the Bill of Rights is above his pay grade, that's the felony of misconduct in office. It's an impeachable offense for a governor either knowingly or negligently to crush civil liberties as these governors have done.
And Judge, 10 seconds, I feel bad for law enforcement. They have to enforce these ridiculous rules. Your thoughts?
Brian, I have spoken to cops. They hate what the governors are making them do. Most of the cops that I've spoken to, their hearts are with the people.
Got you, Judge. Welcome back. The media is just getting more and more ridiculous with their anti-Trump hatred.
I think we have heard some of that, but there is more to this report. And
welcome back to Questions for Corbett. I am James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you can tell things are getting serious when there are not one but two editions of the Questions for Corbett podcast in a single week. But things are getting serious out there, and there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. So here's another one of them. This one comes in by email from Diane, who writes, after watching a Ron Paul segment on YouTube on protests against coronavirus lockdowns, I did a search using Google and DuckDuckGo, and very few articles came up about protests against lockdowns. The few articles that did come up framed protesters as anti-lockdown conspiracy theorists. Are there any protests against these lockdowns anywhere that you are aware of? Thank you for the question, Diane, and there is a rather simple answer to this question. And that answer is yes, there are many protests taking place, even as I speak, all around the globe.
On the north side of the State House, by the entrance to the stateroom, the chants of protesters could be heard loud and clear.
Open Ohio now!
Watching on TV, the protesters' message wasn't clear, but you may have been able to hear something going on. One of those voices outside the State House belongs to Jennifer Franz.
We feel like the virus is
less of a danger to us than our rights being stripped from us.
They wanted gridlock, and they are getting it. Cars as far as the eye can see. We're seeing a lot of signs out here as well that say impeach dimwit, meaning Governor Whitmer, or the guy with the cardboard sign. Usually I'm at work right now. A lot of people who are out of work are up here.
Our community is struggling. My husband is on unemployment for the first time in our life. And it's unwillingly that we're taking unemployment. We want to go back to work. We have employees. We have paychecks to issue. We have bills to pay. The only stores open are Walmart? That's ridiculous. That's why we're here.
A number of Vancouverites aren't drinking the Kool-Aid. And they're getting out and they're getting together here to show the world that we're not okay with unlawful orders and quarantines and lockdowns.
Stay here. It's
a
shame to sit at home and let the government tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Getting a lot of support, too, from cars driving by.
And that's in Vancouver, Canada.
Kool-Aid. Good to see.
20,000 Pakistanis are stuck in the UAE. They have reportedly registered with the Pakistani consulate on the 3rd of April to be able to return to Pakistan, but have so far received no response. And that is why they chose to take to the streets today, flouting the social distancing guidelines.
The big story that we're tracking for you this evening, those are images that we're getting to you from the Bandra station in Mumbai, where protesters have gathered. These are migrant labor, we're given to understand, who gathered to protest against the extension of the lockdown.
Give up your freedom for security and you will lose both, say the peaceful protester. And this is a protest in Germany.
Yes, there are protests happening all around the globe, even as I speak. They are happening across the United States, in South Africa, in Nigeria, in Germany, in India, in other places besides. These protests are happening. So the fact that someone like Diane even has to ask about this speaks to the more underlying problem, which is that the gatekeepers of access to information online, like Google, and increasingly, like DuckDuckGo, who I will note parenthetically, has been getting worse and worse with its search results. Yeah, I've noticed in recent months, so that it is becoming a Google Lite, much like Startpage.com became a Google Lite a year or two ago. It is slipping down that path. So the gatekeepers of online information are directing people who would be interested in such information towards mainstream sources that, of course, are going to portray this as crazy anti-lockdown conspiracy theorists who are killing grandma by daring to go out in public without a mask, not observing proper social distancing rules. This is, of course, the way this information is going to be framed in the mainstream, so no surprise that you are not hearing about this at all there, or to the extent that you are, it is generally by masked reporters who are afraid to go anywhere near these filthy protesters. So if you do want actual information about what is happening with these protests, you are, of course, going to have to turn to online independent sources of information. Like, if you're looking for information specifically in the U.S. context, I will note that Dell Bigtree, the Highwire, has been highlighting some of these protests on his YouTube channel, so restreaming some other people's streams of the protests that are taking place in Ohio and Michigan. Or, for example, I recently was a guest on something called Defending Utah Radio. They've recently talked to Idaho Representative Heather Scott about the lockdown happening there and the unconstitutionality of that. So that link will be in the show notes if you're interested in that conversation. Or, Diane, as you point out, yes, Daniel McAdams and Ron Paul, previous guests here on the Corbett Report, were recently talking about this very phenomenon on the Ron Paul Liberty Report in a segment on the people waking up, coronavirus lockdown sparking nationwide protests.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, the co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing good, because I think we can find a few positive things today.
Yes.
We talk about a few negatives. We usually search for the best things,
yeah.
The positive things, and we occasionally find one. Today, I think we can say maybe the ice has been broken, and they're breaking out, and people are getting tired of it, and they're being tired of lockdown, and maybe it wasn't a good idea. So that to me is good news, and there's now demonstrations that people are speaking out. The reason I like this is there's a saying, and I endorse the saying, is that no matter how authoritarian a government one has, the people have to endorse it. You know, once the people reject it, the government goes. Sometimes it's slow and tedious, but even the ones that are installed, they get the people's support. And right now, the authoritarianism that we've been living with and all the excesses in our financial system and the medical system, people have tolerated and they like it, and they're still, most people still probably think, yeah, all we have to do is tinker with the management. But it's also people that we're seeing now in the streets are saying, you know, boy, this is enough. This lockdown doesn't sound American to us. And they're going out on the streets and demonstrating. And I'm all for that as long as it's peaceful.
Yeah.
But it annoys the authorities because they don't want us out of our house.
Yeah.
How can you demonstrate if you have to stay in? How can you demonstrate if you're not allowed to have more than a couple people together? You can hardly get your grocery shopping done. So it is a challenge, but I think the people are tired of it. And I think they're starting to speak out. I think it's going to grow by leaps and bounds because I think that is the natural thing to happen.
As always, the link to that full conversation will be in the show notes in case you want to check it out. But suffice it to say that, yes, there are protests taking place all around the world right now. Yes, people are pushing back in many places, even as I speak. And it is important, once again, to reflect on the fact that there are still people out there who haven't even heard about this, and some of the people who have only heard about it from mainstream-controlled sources that are trying to frame this as crazy conspiracy theorists. The reason why the first order of the psychological operation that is played out against the public is to convince you that you are all alone is because the real truth, the ground truth that they desperately do not want you to think about, is that they need your compliance to make this happen. This is an exceptionally important point. This is the reason why so much time, effort, attention, and energy is directed into propagandizing the public on various things. It is because what you think, what you believe, influences the way you act and what you are or are not willing to accept. You control reality. You control your reality. This is an exceptionally important subject, and it is the reason why propaganda even exists. Is to try to convince you. You're all alone. You're a fringe wingnut conspiracy theorist. Everyone's laughing at you, and if you go step outside your house, you will A, die of COVID-19 immediately, and B, be snitched upon and set up by your neighbors and set upon by the jackbooted thugs of the police state. So resistance is futile. Stay at home. And literally, I mean, they couldn't make it any more blatant. The propaganda campaign slogan for this is stay at home, literally. So, yes, that's exactly what they want you to do. And the way to defy this, the way to end the lockdown, is not some occult mystery. It's not going to require some sort of 18-dimensional chess. It's not going to be some big plan that's going to, okay, well, first we need to do this, second we need to... No, you end the lockdown because the lockdown only happens because of compliance, because people comply with it, because people go along with it. This is not a difficult point. In fact, it was put in recently. Jeff Berwick had a video up, share this now, and we can end the lockdown by tomorrow morning, where, yes, the lockdown is taking place in our minds, and if we go outside, we have ended the lockdown. This is not rocket science, people. And so, yes, I understand people are concerned about their safety, not necessarily because of COVID-19, but hey, maybe there are people who are concerned about that. So take whatever precautions you want. But for people who want to go outside, go outside. And yes, I understand that you may be subject to the snitches of the neighborhood snitch state and the jackbooted thugs of the police state if you do so in defiance of government orders, if you dare to try to open your business during this lockdown. So there is strength in numbers, and that's why it's important to know about these protests that are taking place, so that you can have that strength in numbers. And if there is no protest taking place in your area, people are looking to me, James, why don't you be a leader and tell me what to do? Okay, you know what? I'm not a leader. I am not your leader, but I'm going to tell you what to do for the people out there who need to be told what to do. And I have this kicking around. I've had this sitting here for a couple of months now because I was planning on doing a Vote Harder video to parody the 2020 selection circus back before the world changed forever. But I've decided I'm going to use this as a badge. I'm going to give you this badge to each and every person watching this video. You have now been embadged. Here it is. You have your medal. You are now officially appointed the leader of your area. You are the resistance leader in your area, whether that area be your house, your community, your neighborhood, your city, your county, your state, your country, whatever it is. You are now the leader. You, personally, I've just passed the baton. You now are the leader of the resistance. You are now empowered to end the lockdown by going outside. And you can do that with people, you can do it by yourself, you can open your business. You've just been empowered by a leader who has told you what to do, so now you are free to go and do it, right? Anyway, whatever it takes, the lockdown only exists because people comply with it, and I hate to tell people, but mass disobedience, mass non-compliance is going to be necessary in order to combat tyranny. It's going to happen sooner or later. The only problem being, if it happens much later, then unfortunately it will not be able to happen at all, because as you may have noticed, the police state is locking down right now. They are putting every single bar of this prison into place right now, and as each bar gets slotted into place, and then it gets harder and harder. Here comes the surveillance and tracking, and here comes the immunity passports, and here comes the mandatory vaccinations, and here comes the cashless society. All coming down, the bars are coming down, shutting in your prison. If you do not disobey, then there will be a time when you cannot disobey. So keep that in mind, and keep in mind the fundamental underlying point of this question. Is anybody protesting? Yes, people are protesting, and you don't know about it because they don't want you to know about it. So first of all, please do not get your information, at least solely from mainstream sources. Please look for online alternative sources. I've just pointed out a few. There are many more out there. I'm sure helpful people can suggest more in the comment section of this report. And secondarily, yes, the lockdown exists in your mind, and you have to start disobeying at some point. That's the message for today. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com.
Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. That's a very good report on some of the pushback against the lockdowns. And what a lot of people are saying is that there are many aspects of this that are just plain irrational. And that's the point. I think we're reasonable people, and we're prepared to take reasonable direction. But, you know, in Ontario, for instance, people have been fined huge sums, of $800-some-odd for walking a dog in a public park. Another person, actually a lawyer, and he wrote in today's National Post a column about doing chin-ups, and I guess you'd call it a monkey bar, in a park. Now, apparently the monkey bars or the equipment had been ruled off-limits. Now, number one, what's irrational? He didn't know that. And he was actually not charged for being in the park. Don't forget, it's a public park. You know, we paid for it. We, the taxpayers. But he was charged for working on, for doing chin-ups on the monkey bars. For that, he got a fine of over $800, which he is going to appeal. He's going to fight the fine when it eventually comes to court, because, of course, the courts now, they're all closed. They're locked down, too. Our rights are precious. very precious. And if we don't jealously guard them, they will evaporate. Well, here is a good example of evaporation right before our eyes. The Liberal government is contemplating a new law to outlaw misinformation about the coronavirus. We, the Canadian Association for Free Expression, have warned from the beginning of the coronavirus hysteria that governments would use this as an opportunity for a power grab and to curtail civil liberties. It's just the nature of the beast. They want power. Now the power-mad elite is contemplating a law to gag discussion of the coronavirus crisis if the discussion contradicts the government's party line. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation reports, quote, and that's a report from yesterday, the federal government is considering introducing legislation to make it an offense to knowingly spread misinformation that could harm people, says Privy Council President Dominic LeBlanc. He's a member of the cabinet. He said he's discussed the matter already with other cabinet ministers, including Justice Minister David Lametti. If the government decides to follow through, though, he said it would take a while to draft legislation. Well, okay, wonderful. Now, let's look at what is contemplated. It's not legislation yet, but the fact that even be considering this, considering legislation to make it an offense to knowingly spread misinformation that could harm people. Whoa! Misinformation that could harm people. Well, who says it's misinformation? Harm them in what way? For instance, I've just said, I think people should push back against this lockdown. A lot of it is irrational. For instance, why should you not be able to walk through a park, jog through a park, go and lie on a beach, as long as you keep 6 feet away from a person near you? Fair enough, let's not have mob scenes, but why should you not be able to be outdoors? I'm told that, you know, the ultraviolet rays of the sun are good for killing germs. Fresh air is good. Sunlight's good. Why not? Now, is that spreading misinformation? I don't know. That could harm the public? Well, harming the public often is a matter of speculation. The fact is, we don't have a cure, or at least the government claims we don't have a cure yet for the coronavirus. Some people think it's a form of quinine. I think it's called chloroquine, which is an old anti-malarial drug. Is helpful. Oh, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. The President of the United States seems to think it's helpful. And the other problem is knowingly. Well, what's knowingly? Now, on one hand, this might be hard to prove. If, I suppose, I said it in an email, I don't really believe this stuff I'm saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Well, I guess that would be knowingly saying something false. The very fact that the government would think of tinkering this way is very, very frightening. There was another law that was brought in the middle of the 19th century, and it's called the False News Law, under Canadian law. And it was originally meant to prevent speculation and fraud. And this is the way, hypothetically, this could occur. In the days before the internet, or even telegraphs, in the middle of the 19th century, you might have somebody in Canada saying, there's a glut on of wheat on the market in England. You better, you wheat farmers in Canada, You better sell for whatever you can get, sell cheap. Now, as a point of fact, let's say there was no guano on the market. And there's, in fact, a near famine in England. So this guy is able, the manipulator is able to buy the Canadian farmers' wheat cheap and sell it at a huge markup in England. So that was, in a nutshell, what the false news law was meant to curtail. And today I think we would call it basically fraud. And there was a financial interest in it. Well, this law sat on the books. It was seldom used until some enterprising Jewish lawyer came up with the idea of charging Ernst Zundel in 1983 with false news. And the argument there was that by distributing a booklet entitled "Did 6 Million Really Die?", Ernst Zundel was spreading false news about the so-called Holocaust. In the end, although he was convicted twice, this case was appealed to the Supreme Court, and on one of the very few occasions the Supreme Court has come down on the side of free speech, the law was thrown out as unconstitutional. My guess, at least my fervent hope, would be that should such legislation be brought in, and should it pass, and we have a minority government, so it would need the help of at least one other major party. But if it passes, that it will be appealed to the Supreme Court. Now, that's not me being cocky. I think, even in our degenerating country, the court would not uphold it. But that's not necessarily a huge comfort. Initially, there would have to be, there would be another way to challenge the law, but initially, somebody would be charged. He would appeal, he would be convicted, he would appeal, go up to the Court of Appeals, and eventually end up in the Supreme Court. All of that, in our sclerotic system, could take years. 2, 3, 5 years, that would not be surprising. Meanwhile, somebody is being put to huge expense, massively inconvenienced. Government should not do this. Well, will they? I don't know. This is just a threat, but let's see. You would think that the opposition parties would be opposed to this. Well, to their credit, the Conservatives aren't. But to their discredit, the Socialists, or the New Democratic Party, that's what they call themselves, their spokesman, Charlie Angus, said he would support the legislation to fight online misinformation. Extraordinary times require extraordinary measures, and it's about protecting the public. No, it's about protecting the government. This is not a question of freedom of speech. No, it never is. This is a question of people who are actively working to spread disinformation, whether it's through troll bot farms, whether it's state operators, or whether it's really conspiracy theorist cranks who seem to get their quick kicks out of creating havoc. I see. So basically, if you disagree with the party line, you're a conspiracy theory crank. Now, to his credit, Conservative leader Andrew Scheer has spoken out strongly about this totalitarian power grab. He said, we're concerned when this government starts talking about free speech issues. He said that just today. They've got a terrible history over the past few years of proposing ideas that would infringe upon free speech. Well, he's got that one right. Anytime this government starts talking about regulating what people can say and not say, we start off the conversation with a great deal of healthy skepticism. And Scheer's pointed out that the government itself has changed its pandemic messaging on travel restrictions and the use of face masks. Yeah. Andrew Scheer is hinting at the fact that our Sinophile, that's radically pro-Chinese government, has spread a good deal of false news itself. Faithfully parroting the Red Chinese propaganda line, they early denounced any calls for a travel ban or restrictions on visitors from China, Red China, and poo-pooed the usefulness of face masks. They were relying on Red Chinese propaganda. Or I should say, well, Red Chinese propaganda as filtered through the World Health Organization, or WHO. The WHO line on both travel restrictions and face masks was an old debating trick, which is called setting up a straw man and then burning it, you know, beating it down and burning it down. The straw man was this: travel bans do not stop the spread of the virus. Well, don't stop it completely. Yeah, that's true. But it certainly stops a lot of it. Indeed, ironically, when they finally began to take it seriously, when they finally stopped denying, and that took them 6 weeks, denying, lying, jailing people who warned about it, when they finally did this, the Red Chinese government locked down the city of Wuhan. Couldn't travel out of it. Why? If travel bans don't work? Well, because they didn't want the virus to spread any further in China, beyond Hubei province. Of course, travel bans work, but they said it didn't. They don't, and the Canadian government said they don't. Now, the Red Chinese are very concerned about about travelers coming into China bringing the coronavirus back. Most of these are Chinese who've traveled overseas or are from overseas and are coming back, and some have the coronavirus, and some blacks. And so they're very strict about travel. So this travel bans don't work. Of course they work. Not 100%. Nothing works 100%. Well, the second thing was, and this was mostly through the WHO, masks don't work. They're not surefire. Well, that's true. They're not surefire. Nothing is. And the mask is more to protect others from you than to protect you from others. It will sort of isolate your coughing. If you are coughing. Well, now the government has reversed itself on both counts. Oh, yes. Well, initially, our chief medical officer of health, this leftist feminist China woman, Theresa Tam, her position was that the wearing masks target certain groups. That was a little hard to get one's head around as well, because the people who tended most to be wearing these masks were Chinese themselves. This doesn't necessarily have to make sense for them to say it. So the notion of restricting speech, spreading falsehoods that could endanger the public. Well, that's awfully broad. Endanger the public in what sense? Kill them? Make them sick? Or expose them to expose them to the risk of being sick? I think when push comes to shove, the threshold of truth there is awfully, awfully low. And this is the sort of thing that we are warned about. Not having any desire to be Cassandras or purveyors of doom and gloom, but governments, by their very nature, use crises like this to expand power, scare the living daylights out of people, and then say, well, it's an emergency, or as Charlie Angus, the socialist, was saying, extraordinary times could call for extraordinary measures. Okay, there's a flu crisis, perhaps wildly overblown or generalized. So to deal with this, we have to curtail free speech. And I'm afraid, sadly, I'm afraid there are people who would go along with that. Yeah, I really am. But there are people who would say, well, nobody likes free speech restricted, but we've got to do this because of the danger of this virus. Well, often there's no connection. That's the beautiful thing, the scary thing. There's no connection. And we know the governments lie. Now they may say, well, they lie for good reasons, or they have their best of intentions. Well, don't always believe that. Often governments lie for their own protection, to protect themselves from people knowing of their own wrongdoing. And so when speech is restricted, if it is, if people run the risk of being charged for spreading misinformation or falsehood, well, it would seem that in a case where we're learning as we go along, what exactly is falsehood? Well, this is certainly going to be an issue we'll be watching. This is Paul Fromm, and I'm going to take my musical break right now, and I'm going to play some German drinking music, a little bit more upbeat. A lot of what we're dealing with these days is fairly serious and not exactly a barrel of laughs, but hope you'll enjoy it. And this is some good German drinking music. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of America.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. Back with the game tomorrow, same time, Eastern time. I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me, here on AltRightTV.com. Well, we do have our technical problems, don't we? Okay, we'll try this one more time. This is the anthem of the real Canada, Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm on AltRightTV.com. And I'm not sure why we are having such trouble tonight. Just a minute ago, this was playing fine. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.